they really wanted to wait for a claim. So at this day, and I spoke with our VP claims yesterday, liability wise, we haven't seen any claims arising from COVID-19. So we don't have a firm position on any wording right now. So, but still, you know, various businesses may be exposed to a claim from a third party alleging negligence managing the virus outbreak. So some policies contain exclusions specifically arising from a pandemic virus or a bacteria. So those who have that in their policies, you know, it could mean that they don't have, you know, the coverage if something happens. So, but you know, it's not in general. And I'll go into the definition of a bodily injury because, you know, it's going to give you an overview of you know, of how gray it is in terms of is it covered or should that be covered or not, right? One thing I need to share with you is, you know, at renewal right now, what we're seeing from the insurers is they are adding an exclusion for COVID. They are adding exclusion for communicable disease on every policy. So that's something that we see at renewals. So not during the policy term. The only way they can add that during policy term is if there is any changes within the nature of your risk. So I'm giving you an example. So let's say that, you know, we started quarantine, the lockdown is fully started, so there's not much we can do to operate. So some people or some organizations started to bring some creative idea of doing some stuff online for their members or you know, which was, you know, maybe online training or. So at that point, you know, our clients were coming to us and asked, you know, if they could they could do that. Is it covered or is not covered, right? So different insurers, we were getting to the insurers. And as soon as you're reopening up what you're doing or asking the insurer to look at the different activities, he can add an exclusion for it. So, and most of them took advantage of it. So, but if you don't have any exclusion within your policy, I'm not saying it's covered, but most likely at renewal, they might add it, an exclusion for it. So, to the best of my knowledge, all insurers are doing it right now. So those who don't have exclusion right now, it's mainly because it was renewal. The renewal, it was renewed before COVID crisis happened. So if I'm getting into the definition of a bodily injury, means in many policies, it's not always the same, but you know, the most common one that we're seeing is bodily injury means bodily injury, sickness, disease sustained by a person, including death resulting from any of these at any time. So at first sight, you see sickness, you see disease, and say, you know what, okay, good, I should be okay. But yet, you know, no insurer is taking position on it. Would they argue that it's a pandemic and not a disease? We don't know. So we don't know, and until we have a court or we have a case in front of a judge, we're not sure that, you know, it will be or not covered. So BC government issued a special ministerial order to protect amateur sports organizations. So some of you might have seen that during the last few weeks. It was basically because no sporting organization out of BC who probably were in the renewal mode could have access to coverage for COVID. So the government take position to bring protection to these PSOs out of BC, telling that they should not be liable if someone's getting COVID because of it, or are arguing that they got it because of it. So we believe that it's a very good thing by the BC government to do it. We hope that other provinces might look to do the same, but because down the line, and again, me, I'm in Quebec right now, so you know, I know things are different across the country, but in Quebec we are reopening sports. My kids are back on the ice, not playing the game, but they have some skills. My youngest one's playing baseball, and you know, they're adapting, you know, what they do based on you know, everything that the health and authorities are seeing here in Quebec. But still, there is some not some danger, but there is some exposure that, you know, at some point a kid or somebody could get it. So so this is for general liability. So there is no for sure fact that it's covered or it's not covered. We believe that at some point, you know, there will be a suit, somebody suing somebody to maybe to get it. But, you know, we'll find out more when the insurer is taking a position, a firm position on it. Phase two, again, are we covered directors and officer liability? Although D&O liability policies will generally exclude claims alleging direct bodily injury or property damage, this is more a general liability policy than a directors and officer liability. Sometimes the allegations are gray and are more leading to the fact that it's an administrative decision. So it could lead to something on the directors and officer liability. What you need to look at on your policy is if there is an absolute exclusion for bodily injury. So if it's not an absolute exclusion, you know, there might be some allegation it could be accepted. But if you have an absolute exclusion, it's a determining consideration in your D&O policy, providing coverage for a scenario like that. So one thing you need to look if you have an absolute exclusion on your directors and officer liability for bodily injury. So that's a key thing that you need to look at. The other type of policy is a property policy. And that policy, sometimes there is a business interruption coverage that is usually an extension of an insurance property policy. So that one, we have seen some claims arising of it. But one thing you need to keep in mind for that business interruption coverage attached to a property policy is coverage provided that property insured are subject to damage to insured property by an insured peril. So basically what it means, you need to have a physical damage to your property in order to trigger the business interruption aspect. So, and it was quite interesting to see how the insurers were reacting to that. And there was something coming out from the state. I remember President Trump on TV saying that, you know, all these companies paid premium for many years, that they should be covered for business interruption, no matter if it's the government who shut down everything, no matter if it's, you know, it's mandatory to close your business. So obviously what we've done, like they did in the States, we did report all these business interruption claims to insurers for them to take a position. Even if we knew that most likely it would be denied. But it was a way as well to, you know, make the government aware that, you know, this is not covered on an insurance policy. And in the state, there was rumor coming out from the state saying, you know, maybe at some point the insurer or the government will take a position and said, you know what, or force the insurers to, you know, to do something or work in partnership with them to find solution. Obviously in Canada, the government take, you know, serious measures to help protecting, you know, the businesses and support them. So, but we haven't had any result in terms of, you know, what they did with the government related to that. But it was a way to, you know, make them aware that, you know, this is not covered on an insurance policy. So, and if you think about it, if it was covered on an insurance policy on for business interruption, there will be no insurer who would have survived that crisis. So it would be, you know, would that mean bankrupt? Because basically, most of businesses have that coverage on their property policy, and, you know, would mean that, you know, the losses would have been, you know, huge. So it would be impossible for to go through consequences from this magnitude. So that was the three main policies that I wanted to discuss and how they could react to COVID. And again, I know it's very gray because, you know, there's no certainty outside of the business interruption coverage. But yeah, without any claims right now, they don't take position. And business interruption, you need to have a covered peril. So meaning a physical damage to that makes that your business cannot operate. So authorities or stopped by the government, it's not sufficient to trigger that coverage. So it brings me to the return to play or return to reopening phase, because, you know, that's what we're seeing right now in Quebec. I know Ontario, you know, did some stuff recently, same thing in BC. And I know there is, you know, various provinces who started back to do, to go back a little bit to normal, if I can say so. Insurance wise, you know, what can I say to you to work with the insurer on that? It's obviously follow the guidelines of your respective province health and safety authorities. That's the main key. Adapt your risk and safety procedures to the new reality of it. Most important one, have a complete return to play or reopening plan that should be shared with your members. So specific to COVID. So this is huge when we go back to the insurer asking him, okay, they are ready to reopen. They will do that. And you know, the first thing they are asking is do you have something specific to COVID? So if needed, make sure your plan is approved by competent authorities. Provide guidance, support, and training when needed to your volunteers, your staff, your participants, depending what type of activities you're doing. Waivers or assumption of risk form adapted to your activities is very important. The insurers are asking that question all the time. Obviously, I'm a broker. I'm not a lawyer. So I know we have great, you know, sports lawyer in Canada. I've been in touch with many of them, and I know many of my clients were in touch with some of them as well. So seek legal counsel for that. So it's very important, and it's going to give us some ammunition with the insurer to work on your file. So make sure you're in constant communication with your clients, your membership, your participants. This is key. And last advice regarding, you know, return to play or reopening, make sure you communicate any changes to your broker and insurers. I would say more is better. So just make sure that, you know, you communicate well. I gave you the example of virtual training, you know, that I had numerous requests for stuff virtual during the pandemic. And you know, it was good to be able to work with insurers, and they were open to that. So, but just make sure they know that, you know, you might do things a little bit differently. So that was for the return to play. So what about the after? Because obviously, you know, as I mentioned, you know, there was a hard market before. Ooh, we were already in a phase where, you know, rates were getting higher. But what is the impact? And that's where I want to get into the event cancellation policies. That is, you know, very popular on the entertainment side, sports side, anything related to venues and everything. So what is the impact on that? So event cancellation policy typically covers additional costs, expense, or lost revenue when a planned event is canceled, postponed, interrupted, or relocated due to unforeseen circumstances. So I want to underline unforeseen circumstances, because, you know, when we got into March, after the waiting phase, 2 weeks, you know, we got a lot of phone calls from our client and said, hey, Sasha, I would need an event cancellation policy. And I said, well, you know, for COVID, and said, yeah, I need, because my event wants what happened this summer, right? So I said, well, it's impossible to do or had an event cancellation policy for something that you know that could lead to your event to be canceled. So this is the premises of an event cancellation policy. Everything you know that could lead to your event to be canceled, you know, the insurer will never cover that. So it's part of the question they will ask you. So so obviously it was a lot of phone calls for that. So event cancellation policy for me, it's a gamble, right? You know, it costs, I would not say a lot of money, but you know, it's the price for it, it's expensive. And it could go over what you're paying for the three core policies that, you know, I mentioned without you even having access to it or never using it, right? It's more common to have a liability claim, a director's and officer claim, or a property claim than having an event cancellation policy. I've seen one claims within my last 9 years at DFL related to event cancellation. So, and one thing you need to know as well is event cancellation policies are a la carte type of policies. So, you know, you have a base coverage, which is covering, you know, mainly, you know, if the facility is not, you know, able to or not, you know, or have a physical damage, or I don't know if the rink is not available, or these type of stuff are on the base coverage. But there is various optional coverage available, like, you know, limited tourism, communicable disease was one of them as well, and I get into that just in a few seconds. Catastrophic non-appearance from teams, athletes, it could be performers for those who have some entertainment in their activities. Severe weather is usually included in most policies that have events inside. Usually it's not covered when it's outside, so you can add that to your policy, but it's an option. And strike risk, it's another one you can have. So communicable disease obviously is one of them, which, you know, COVID could have fall under. Ironically, terrorism was way more popular than and communicable disease, right? Related to what we remember in the past, right? September 11, 2001 was, you know, certainly one of the reason why terrorism was more popular for those who were buying these type of policies, because it was touching us more, right? Because we saw everything happening in New York and Washington back then. But communicable disease was not that popular. So if I can give you the example of Wimbledon, they bought that policies for the last 17 years. They said that they invested $32 million within the last 17 years, so roughly $2 million per year. And it's no surprise that they were one of the first events to be canceled this year. You saw what the French Open Roland Garros did. They, you know, and I don't know exactly what is the status now, but, you know, very fast at the beginning of it, you know, they postponed their tournament to the fall, where Wimbledon said, you know what, we'll cancel it, and the payout was $142 million US for that policy. So very easy to say that, you know, hey, we should have bought the same type of coverage, but you know, they paid $32 million within the last 17 years without, you know, having any claims related to it. So and I bet the $2 million they invested yearly is the cost for that. It's way more compared to the other three policies that everyone needs, the liability and the directors and officer and the property. And I'm sure they have more policies than that. So, so it was like, you know, a gamble again, as per me. That was a good payout for them this year, and it protected them, but it's a massive investment they needed to do. These type of policies can be bought 36 months in advance without having any impact on the premium. So it doesn't matter if you know, secure the coverage 3 months before or 36 months. So, you know, the same kind of rating is applying. But you cannot do it 30 days prior to the event. So So it's and some, you know, in the past we were seeing, you know, 20 days they were accepting and do it. Not right now, obviously, these insurers, because you know what, there's not 10 insurers who's doing event cancellation. There's a handful of market who's doing it. Most of them are from London. It's the Lloyd's of London market. Right now, what we're seeing, and it was the same with 9/11. They don't write communicable disease anymore right now. So they are in a stop mode for that. And even if they are starting to write it again, keep in mind for sure that, you know, COVID, stress, H1N1, swine flu will be excluded forever from these policies. So basically, if the coverage is becoming available again in the near future, because we believe that it will come back at some point when we know a little bit more, you know, what's in front of us. But these coverages won't be available. So it will be basically to cover the COVID-20 or COVID-21 if something happening in that sense. So, but as for now, there is no market covering or providing quote for communicable disease at this point, from what I know from the market at this point. One thing I need to tell you too, right? Things are changing fast these days, right? You know, there was no exclusion right at the beginning, and suddenly a couple of weeks afterward, insurers are starting to add exclusion about COVID. So the market is reacting, everyone is reacting to what's happening right now. So you can keep that in mind for that. But and the rating obviously we've seen, you know, rate raise for event cancellation between 40% and 50% right now, the same type of policies we had 6 months ago. So there was definitely a huge raise, and there is a huge losses on that front. You know, the Olympics, they had that type of policies as well. So there is major loss related to it. What's next? We still are in, you know, COVID crisis, right? You know, where, you know, things are reopening, but it doesn't mean that things are over yet. You need to keep monitoring the evolution of what your provincial health and securities authority are asking and what their position is. What's to expect next from the insurance market? I mentioned that many times during my presentation, communicable disease exclusion to be added to your insurance policies at renewal. So at this point, it's most likely what's going to happen. No possibilities at this time right now to include communicable disease for an event cancellation policy. So what we hope for, what we are working with the insurers right now on kind of solutions. So we would like to work with insurers for them to accept to add a sublimit to cover legal defense on a general liability policy related specifically to COVID-19, that, you know, people could sue you for or taking procedures against you related to it. So because this is, and this is a personal comment, right? You know, in order for somebody to sue you, you will have to prove that, you know, you're the reason why he caught COVID. So it's the claimant who needs to prove that. So, and in order to do that, I believe, and again, it's not BFL position, it's my personal position, that it will be extremely hard to prove without any doubt that, you know, it's your fault or it's your organization's fault to that it has caused that. So, but obviously you need to take that in consideration. You need to take the measures, right? You know, if your event is ran, you know, or if you're postponing your event, you know, you need to adapt yourself when things will reopen and when, you know, people will be back in the stands. So. But somebody's suing you, even if it will be extremely hard for him to prove that, you know, the COVID was caught, you know, because of you, and he needs to prove your negligence, it still needs some lawyers and legal fees to take you out of it or to defend you. So that's why we're working with insurers right now, on stuff like that. Return of the option to include communicable disease to an event cancellation policy. And again, you know, excluding all these, you know, virus that, you know, occurred within the last few years. We hope that it's going to be back soon on the market. But at this point, it is not. So I know I went very fast, and I'm sorry the PowerPoint doesn't seem to run, but I know it will be online after the presentation. So you'll have all these comments and my presentation online. Rick, I don't know if people have questions, I'll be more than happy to try to answer them if I have I have the answers. I know the presentation doesn't sound too positive, but keep in mind that things are changing fast and everyone's trying to adapt themselves. So that was that was the comment that I have for the insurance today.
Very good. Thanks very much, Sasha. There are some questions. And once again, apologies for the technical challenges. As Sasha mentioned, the PowerPoint will be online by tomorrow. A couple of things have come up. Now, recognizing that the whole waiver issue that we're hearing a lot about is, you know, potentially more of a legal, falls within the legal realm. Are there any implications from an insurance coverage standpoint with waivers, having participants or spectators signing waivers, absolving the organizer of potentially any liability?
Well, the first thing, again, is you need to follow the authorities' guidelines, right? So if you're not able to go in the rink or go anywhere, right, you need to follow that. That's the first premises. As per me, a waiver or a form, an allotment of risk form, is more a risk control tool just to inform people that there is risk attached to it. And again, you have Quebec, who is the common law, but you have the rest of Canada, the rest of Canada's common law, and we have the civil code here in Quebec, which is totally two different things, right? And it's looked at differently. But one thing for sure, insurers used to ask if there was waiver completed without asking a copy of it. Now they are asking to see a copy of it, and they are asking to have, you know, stuff related to COVID specifically on it. But again, it's more on a legal counsel that you need to work with. But I've seen a couple of very good examples coming out from various PSOs and national governing body that we're working with.
Okay. Here's a question. We are in discussions for renewing our insurance, and our insurance is uncertain about covering online events, online practices and workouts, for example. One thing they suggested was having us monitor members through webcams while they work out, which is not possible for us. Do you have any other solutions that perhaps may have worked for others?
Well, we had a lot of situations similar to that. Some insurers are more, you know, stiff on it, and has that, you know, you have access to, you know, see what's happening full time. There is some insurers who are a little bit more soft on it, but down the line, they want you to monitor who's doing what. They would like, you know, at least they want to have a record of it without necessarily, having them filming themselves. Other insurers are asking that there is a limited number of people who are doing it online to be able to keep track of what they're doing. But you need to work with your insurer on that. And there is some possibilities. But again, we're going back to the waiver or the acknowledgement of risk, right? If you're all by yourself at home doing something, you're following the guideline of your federation or organization, you know, you need to get to your member and said, you know what, there is some risk doing it because we're not there to support you or we're not there to teach you specifically. So usually what we were seeing was like, you know, not too hard exercise, you know, like common, like, you know, dry land training or soft, not soft. I don't like the word soft, but, you know, more common thing that was not too dangerous to do without supervision of anybody. But there is some insurers who are more flexible than others, for sure.
Okay. Dave Pimman asks, isn't contamination damage to property? Isn't it considered the same thing as damage to property?
Yeah, this is on the property side. This is definitely one question that was coming up. I can't say we didn't have any situation related to it. So once again, we don't have, a firm position from an insurer related to it because most of these companies, you know, were shut down, right? So there was no propagation of the virus related to it. But this could be a good question. If, you know, I can ask RVP claims what is position related to it. But yes, there is some policies who have contamination part of their coverages. Would that coverage be triggered with COVID? That's a good question.
Yeah. So it hasn't been tested yet, I guess.
No.
Right. Yeah. Another question. How do you suggest we protect ourselves for events in 2021? Hotel, venue, transportation, etc. Contracts are all due soon, but there's still a risk that events could be canceled for next year. You've identified that event cancellation policies will not cover COVID-19. So will we be liable for all our contracts if the event is canceled?
Well, I guess it depends of each and respective contracts. I've been involved with, you know, some event that were canceled. And again, you know, I cannot go too much into details, but, you know, I think people in Canada were really good in terms of, you know, working, you know, to be, you know, to adapt themselves, right? If the event is postponed or something like that. I've seen a lot of good faith from various partners and companies. But it's definitely a challenge if you don't have, you know, if you're on your event cancellation policy, you didn't have communicable disease prior COVID. It's definitely an area that is very, very tough right now.
Okay. This is from Stefan Cossette. Since the CGL policy is occurrence based, if my policy did not have an exclusion, could I fall back to that policy when a claim comes in at a future date?
Well, good question on Stefan's part. It's just that we don't know how the insurer will react to the coverage, even if your policy is silent or not. You know, we don't know because the insurer are not responding to it, but it's a great question. It's a great question that, you know, I could push and I can speak to you, Stefan, if you want about it, within the next few weeks.
Okay. And perhaps this is an associated question. Many CGL insurers in sports area insist on waivers, hold harmless, and assumption of risk programs. Any suggestions slash comments on that? I think that's related to the previous question.
Yeah, it's a thing. It's a risk management tool on their part. And you know, they want to make sure that, you know, each and everyone are taking the responsibility to guide their membership or their spectators and inform them that there is risk attached to it. So, but again, it's more on the legal side that you need to look for anything related to these forms and waivers.
Okay. Adrian Newman asks, will insurers offer refunds on liability policy premiums for months when insured properties were completely shut down?
Well, on a liability standpoint, depending who is the insurer, there is some insurers who are flexible and you need to work with your broker on it and you know, definitely, you know, ask and demonstrate, you know, what is the impact on your exposure. And you know, usually the insurers, you know, we'll wait up to the end of the policy term just to make sure, because right now we don't know what's going to happen in the next few weeks, right? I remember I was in April and you know, sports like baseball or football or, you know, they were saying to us, you know what, our season will be completely canceled. So can I work with the insurer right away to get, you know, a refund or something like that? And suddenly month and a half afterward, you know, suddenly there is some stuff happening. So in terms of, you know, going back and forth and going back and forth, you know, we tend to wait at the end of the policy term to get, you know, the insurer to agree on or being flexible either on the renewal terms or giving, you know, a rebate. But again, you know, there is various insurers that are looking at it completely differently. In terms of sports, we always, you know, most of the underwriting is done by the number of participants. So if, you know, you can prove that you have less participants, it could help to get a relief from the insurer. but there's no certainty about it. But you know, it's, you need to work with your broker on that. But there is some insurers who are flexible.
Okay. Another question. Since most operations are stopped for a while and is and events are minimal at the moment, we can expect less claims for this period. Do you think this will help lower premium costs?
For sure, there will be less claim this year because, you know, the best way to avoid a claim to happen is to avoid to do something. That's a principle of the risk management. So if you want to avoid something to happen, don't do it. So this being said, I'm going to take you back to the beginning of my presentation where, you know, we are in a hard market right now. And, you know, it independently of COVID, you know, we were in a situation where rates were on the raise. So, and we don't see because of COVID, this is changing. I think, you know, this is still pretty much dominant in terms of stuff. If I have a comment or I have a suggestion, you know, we see raise in best class of risk without any losses. You know, on liability side, you know, I would, you know, and again, I don't want you to take my number for you know, specifically, but you know, it's between 5% and 10% in terms of the raise. And again, it all depends if your risk is changing as well. On the property side, it's way more difficult where we see raise, you know, 10, 15 and up to 20. And you know, if you have a lot of losses, you know, it could go up to 20, 25, 40%. But again, you know, I know it sounds very high. But it is what it is right now. You know, it's a very tough market right now in the insurance, and you know, you should plan accordingly to it. You know, in the past, I was seeing a lot of as is year after year after year. We don't see that right now.
Okay. Sasha, many national sport organizations conduct competitions like right across the country in different jurisdictions, provinces, and markets. Do you have any advice for those organizations from an insurance perspective? Or do the local jurisdictional protocols apply in every case?
Well, right now it's fairly limited in terms of traveling available, right? And one topic that I haven't touched yet, and you know, thanks for your question, is travel insurance, because I guess a lot of people on the call are hosting international events and they have people coming to Canada or some of their athletes going internationally to participate in competition. We are seeing right now that few insurers are covering COVID for travel insurance. This is one area where we see, you know, and again, I'm thinking about one insurer who is still doing it, where all of the others are not covering. So meaning that if you know, some insurer, if you're going into the United States in the near future for competition, they are excluding COVID. So, and it's a fairly high risk. But we have some solutions still on the table for that. And it's one of the area where it's, you know, we still can do something related to COVID. And I think, you know, I would not suggest anybody traveling, you know, away from Canada without having that coverage on his policy for sure.
Mm-hmm. Well, what about coverage for incoming athletes? Many events as part of the obligation of an organizing committee, for example, are required to provide air transport into an event. Same concept applies?
Well, usually when you're coming to represent your country in an international competition, it's, you know, it's your federation, it's your national federation who's taking care of the insurance. It all depends. But most likely the insurance will come from your federation. So, in terms of, you know, when you're hosting it, you know, you have a liability attached to it. And again, we're going back to the same premises where you know, COVID will most likely be excluded. But again, I'm referring you to, you know, the local authorities, you know, what's, you know, what they accept, what you need to do in terms of, you know, all the hand washing and all what's available. And, you know, there's a lot of medical staff involved in these international events as well, right? So, you know, it's kind of hard to know where these international events will go back to normal, but it will at some point for sure. But most likely it's the local federation or the national federation who's providing insurance when they come to Canada.
Great. One more question. I think we have time. We've got a couple of minutes left. This is from Pierre-Luc Daou. Do spectators attending activities within a facility, should they be signing a waiver as well, like the participants? And this is
Different. It's no different than when you go see a show or something like that. You know, you buy your tickets. You have, you know, at the back of the tickets, usually you have guidelines and you have stuff written on it, which is like a little bit of waiver. It's like when you buy a steel ticket, right? You know, there is some risk acknowledgement on it. And I'm referring you to what we see right now where we go to the store right now. You know, they usually have somebody at the entrance of the store, you know, telling you that you need to go wash your hand or put some Purell and before getting in. You know, it's the authority. So if these stores and you take care of telling people, you know, what is the maximum number of people you can add into your facilities. You know, I think it's a little bit like the waiver, right? You know exactly what you're getting into. And, you know, there is sign everywhere here in Quebec. I haven't traveled yet to Ontario since the beginning of it, but, you know, you could read before getting into a place that, you know, what are the measures in place in order to respect the social distancing and everything.
Okay. Very good. So that takes us to the top of the hour, right on time. So thanks very much, Sasha. I'd like to thank you for participating and bringing some clarity on a very challenging part of the formula for hosting sport events in communities right across the country. Thanks for everyone for participating. And once again, the PowerPoint will be available and posted in the webinar section of our website by tomorrow. So take the opportunity to check for that. In addition, we'll be taking a bit of a pause in terms of webinars given upcoming vacation schedules. I'm not sure where we're traveling to. There's nowhere to travel to, but some of us need a break. And we'll be back in touch with in mid-August with the upcoming webinars that we've got planned for you. So thanks once again, Sasha and participants, and have a great rest of day.
Thanks, everyone.
Thank you.